What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're starting a new book, the book of 2 Samuel, which I know is not completely a new book. It's really just second half of the book of Samuel. But what we see here is the transfer of power. Now Saul is officially dead. And what we see here in chapter 1 is a guy comes running up to David saying, "Hey, Saul's dead and I killed him. And isn't this great?" And David says, "Nope, that's not very great. In fact, it's a tragedy. And in fact, you're going to die because you said you killed Saul." So what we see here is David puts this guy to death. That's the first thing really we see in this book. He's executed in verse 15. And then he sings a song, not a happy song, but a sad song, a song of lament, where David is just distraught that not only is Saul, Israel's first king, killed in battle. If that wasn't bad enough, we also see that Jonathan, the person who is supposed to sit at David's right hand, he's killed too. So we see here David's song, which is really full of a lot of shame, just not being, not ashamed in himself, but like ashamed that Israel lost this battle. This was terrible. It's horrible for everyone involved, except for the Philistines, I guess. But for the Israelites, this is a horrible day. So David says, this is not a day of celebrating. This is a day of mourning. So in chapter 2, it says that David is finally anointed as the king. I know he was already anointed by Samuel, but now he's set in the position and recognized as the king of Israel. But at the same time, we see Ishbosheth, which is one of Saul's sons, he is also appointed as king. So David does not take over Israel immediately. In fact, this process of getting the throne took a while. So it says that he was over at least the house of Judah. The people in Judah, they recognized David as king from the beginning. But these Israelites, they, a lot of them, looked to Saul and his family for leadership. Obviously, Saul was dead, but Abner was still alive, one of the commanders of the army. He was still alive. And also Ishbosheth, which was one of Saul's sons, they looked to him as the new king. And what we're going to see now is this battle, basically a little civil war for who's going to be king. So we see Abner is on Ishbosheth's side. So Abner is on Saul's family side, and Joab is the commander on David's side. So Abner and Joab have this back and forth. Abner kills Joab's brother. And then what we see in chapter 3 is that Abner says, "Okay, fine, I'll serve David now. We should be all good now. I'm on your side now." And when that happens, Abner agrees to serve David. Joab kills Abner because for revenge for killing his brother in the chapter before. So this is not a good time. And the death count really is not super high, but we see Saul's men are getting killed at a much higher rate than David's men. And the moral of this whole section, not the moral, but a repeated theme is God is with David. God is taking the kingdom away from Saul's family. God is with David. They're growing. They're getting bigger. They're getting better. They're getting stronger. But Saul and his family, they're losing at every single turn. So what we should see here is the favor of God is so important. The favor of God, and it's seen in God making David's plans go well, God making his throne established, even though David is surrounded by a lot of evil people that are doing evil things. I mean, Joab was an unrighteous guy for murdering Abner. He should not have done that. It was evil and wrong. But even in that, David's like, "I didn't do this. This is on you. You should not have done this." David is mad at the people around him for acting in an unrighteous way, where he, for years and years and years, acted in the righteous way when he could have acted unrighteously like Joab or like Abner, like these people. So we see the difference between the two of them in these chapters. So let's look at the New Testament. Let's look at Luke. We're looking at Luke 18 here. We see two parables at the beginning, which are interesting. They're similar because they're both about prayer, but they're about two different kinds of prayer, I think. Chapter 18, the beginning of it, it's talking about prayer, and it says that Jesus told this parable so that they would pray and not give up. And then it talks about this lady who's asking an unrighteous judge for justice. And God says it's not because he's a righteous judge that he wants to answer. It's because this lady's just constantly complaining. And God says, you know, you could ask me like that too if you want to, because I'm a righteous judge. I would much rather answer your request than this unrighteous judge. So come to me. Pray to me. Ask me for things. That's what God pleads with these people in this section. Then the next section is another parable about a tax collector and a Pharisee. And it says that Jesus told this parable, which is interesting. Both of these parables, they get a purpose statement at the beginning of the section. The purpose statement here is that he told these parables to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they treated others with contempt. So he tells the story, hey, who's going to walk home righteous? The person who asks God for forgiveness or the person who thinks they're righteous already? Right, you already know the answer to this. Is it the tax collector who turns from his sin and trusts in God? Or is it the Pharisee who acts like he's not a big sinner? The answer is it's the tax collector. He's going to walk away righteous and justified by God, not the Pharisee, because the Pharisee didn't think he needed to repent of anything. Same thing's true today. Who's going to be justified? The one who calls out on God and asks him for forgiveness, or the one who thinks they don't need forgiveness? Reality is we need to ask God for forgiveness when we do what's wrong. It's so important that we do that. It's necessary that we do that, because that's the only way that we're going to be made right or justified before God, is if we plead with God and ask God for forgiveness. So let's make sure that as we live our day-to-day lives, we're asking God for forgiveness continually, especially at a first point of repentance, but also continually as points of repentance pop up, and we need to keep repenting of sin. So let's turn to God for forgiveness every single day. So that's all we got in today's daily Bible reading. We'll see you back tomorrow for another one.